All right, let's dive into the Word of God together. Turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 1, we're going to be looking at verses 1 to 25. As we continue to go verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book, and now we're marching right into Luke, just going through the Word and getting the Word to go through us. Father, thank you so much for this time in your Word. We are so thankful that you brought us here to hear this word. So speak to our hearts. Give us ears to hear what you're going to say. Give us a timely word for our situations and the things that we're going to going through. And Lord, we just pray that your hand will be upon us and that, Lord, that you would enable us to carry out those things you're going to instruct us this morning. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Luke 1, looking at verses 1 to 25, the title of this message is Understanding Prayer. Understanding prayer. Now, this is an important subject for us to study because there are a lot of things being said about prayer. There are those who say that all we need to do in prayer is to command and demand from God, and he'll give us whatever he wants as if he's some genie in a lamp, and all we got to do is rub our magic lamp of faith and out pops God to give us our three wishes. Are you kidding me? But that's what some people say about prayer. There are others who say that, you really don't have to pray. Come on. God knows what we need before we ask, so you really don't even have to pray. And then there are others who say, you know what, when I pray, what really happens in heaven when I'm praying? Is something going on in heaven, or is it just bouncing off the clouds and coming on back down? What's really going on? I believe that these verses are going to shed some light on these questions that we have. And I believe that we're going to really get an understanding of what prayer is all about from these verses. And we're going to look at four principles about prayer. Number one, understanding delays in prayer. Understanding delays in prayer. Number two, understanding the blessings of prayer. Understanding the blessings of prayer. Number three, understanding faith in prayer. Understanding faith and prayer. And number four, understanding God's timing in prayer. Understanding God's timing in prayer. Now, seeing that we're just starting out, let me give you a little background about this book. Luke, the author of this third gospel, was called by the Apostle Paul the beloved physician in Colossians 4:14. Because he was a doctor, there are details and medical terms that Luke uses in this gospel that is absent from the other gospels. This is why I've mentioned before that the Gospel of Luke is the longest book in the New Testament. Not by way of chapters. It only has 24 chapters. Matthew has 28. But by way of verses. Each chapter has about 50, 60 verses to it. So it is the longest book, and it lets us know that Luke was a doctor into details and medical terms and things he's going to use that is absent from the other gospels. Also, his command of the Greek language is explained by the fact that he was Greek, making him the only Gentile writer of the scriptures. He also wrote the book of Acts as well, both of them to a man by the name of Theophilus. And his name means lover of God. Let me ask you this morning. Are you a lover of God? Yes, we fall short, but a lover of God is not a sinless person, but it's a person that desires to sin less and less. You can tell if you're a lover of God by looking at your lifestyle. Do you live to please yourself, or do you live to please God? One of the characteristics of the last days, the Bible said that men will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Where do you find yourself today in these last days? Are you a lover of pleasure, or are you a lover of God? If you're a lover of God, you can walk out here and say, my name is Theophilus as well, which means lover of God. So let us become lovers of God and fall more in love with Jesus Christ as we study this book. Look at verses 1 to 4 so we can get the context. Inasmuch as many have taken into hand to set in order a narrative of those things which have been fulfilled among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered them to us. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus, that you may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed. So Luke says that he interviewed Many eyewitnesses, no doubt including Mary, the mother of Jesus, to get the details of the birth of Christ and his early years. Luke wrote a report of those things to Theophilus. Some scholars suggest that Theophilus was Luke's previous owner. See, although the practice of medicine was a noble calling, there was not a lot of money in it. So men with wealth would hire their own private doctors. In other words, Luke was the slave of Theophilus at one point. And what happened is Theophilus got saved and gave his life to the Lord, and he released Luke to pursue missionary ministry with Paul. And this is why we read about Luke traveling with Paul in the book of Acts, no doubt as his personal physician. Look what it says there in verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Notice how Luke gives us the time period this took place in the days of Herod. These were very dark days because Herod, speaking of Herod the Great, was a very ruthless person. A popular saying went around that it was safer being Herod's pig than his son because he killed wives and sons for crazy reasons. Most importantly, these were dark days because the word of the Lord through a prophet had not been heard for 400 years. In other words, the last word spoken by the Lord during this time was the book of Malachi. Malachi the prophet, the last book of our Old Testament, that was the last word of the Lord. Now it had been 400 years, so the days were dark. Now, Zacharias was a priest, and the priesthood was divided into 24 groups of priests who would take 1 week off to serve in the temple. This was a lifelong honor to be able to serve in the temple. And they took a week off to be able to do that. I just wonder if we would take a week off to serve in the church. You know, oh, I ain't taking a week off. I gotta get my money. And you wonder why you don't get used by the Lord. Like, and here it is. This man, they took a week off to serve in the temple of the Lord. Look what it says there in verses 6 and 7. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. In other words, they were old. Well advanced in years. Now, in this culture, barrenness was considered a curse from God. So if a couple had no children, it meant that they did something wrong and God was punishing them. This was the belief at that time. Yet we're told in verse 6 that both of them were righteous and blameless before God. This teaches us a very valuable lesson. Don't judge things too quickly. This is why 1 Corinthians 4:5 says, judge nothing before the time. And I believe that we jump to conclusions too quickly. We see things and immediately jump to conclusions, and we can be totally wrong. Just like everyone at this time, they assumed that Zacharias and Elizabeth had done something wrong because of their barrenness. And may we learn this lesson as well, not judging things too quickly. So often people have made assessments of our church by coming one time. You can't make an assessment on the church by coming one time. Someday, hey, praise team or me or usher, somebody could have had a bad day. Could have been just all day. You know, we could have had something happen at home on the way to, and we just had a bad day. We came in with attitude. And you judge, ooh, that church there, they're mean. Really? Really? You can't judge. Don't judge things too quickly. The Bible says, judge nothing before the time. The old saying, don't judge a book by its cover. Don't immediately look and just make an assessment. And we do that too often. We do it too quickly. And here, no doubt, the people were saying, you know what? Lord, Zachary and Elizabeth, boy, we know they did something wrong. And that was not the case at all. And we're going to see why they had not children. They didn't have children up until this point. Look at verses 8 through 10. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Now, the altar of incense represents prayer. Every morning and every evening, the priest will pour incense upon the altar in the holy place. And when the incense hits the coal, the scent would rise up into heaven, creating a sweet smelling aroma before God. And this moves us into number one, understanding delays in prayer. Why are there delays when we pray? Because you have to understand the same thing happens when we pray. Every time we pray, that your prayer goes up as a sweet smelling aroma into the nostrils of God. Do you remember what Revelation 5:8 says, how our prayers are stored in bowls in heaven, ready to be poured out on the earth in our behalf? See, I don't know how many prayers will fill your bowl. Sometimes I can pray one time and things happen. Oftentimes things happen after I keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking, like Matthew 7:7 teaches us. Could it be that we are about to give up on that spouse, that teenager, that job situation, and God is in heaven almost pleading with us, saying, please, just one more prayer, or two more prayers, or just pray one more week. And all of a sudden, the bowl will tip over and the blessings will come out. And I just wonder, if some of you came here today and you're about to give up, you say, you know what? I'm tired of praying for that person. I'm tired of praying for this job situation. I'm tired of praying on what to do about this or that. And the Lord is in heaven saying, no. Just one more prayer. And we're like, you know, I'm tired of this. How long you been praying about? Well, since yesterday. Well, but I'm tired. I'm tired of praying. And so often, we are about to give up when the Lord is saying, just one more week or one more month. And the bowl will tip over and release the blessings. I wonder how many bowls we will see in heaven ready to be tipped over, but we stop praying for that thing, that person, that situation. I just wonder. Also, I want you to notice how it was when Zacharias is serving that God is going to speak to him. It was when he was serving, not while he was sitting, that God spoke. It was when David was serving the sheep and looking over the sheep that God spoke. It was when Peter was mending his nets that God spoke to him. So often we think that we need to sit and God will speak. No, it's not as we're sitting and God will speak. It's as we're serving, God speaks. And here he is serving in the temple. God gives him instruction. Here David watching over the sheep and God gave him instruction. Peter and other disciples, they were fishing or mending nets and doing something that God speaks. God speaks when we're serving, not sitting. And so often many people are sitting and saying, oh, why didn't God speak to me? No, get to serving. And you'll find that he will speak to you. So number one, understanding delays in prayer. Understanding the delays. Number two, understanding the blessings of prayer. Look what it says there in verses 11 through 13. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. What I want to bring to your attention, notice that he says your prayer, singular, is heard. Not your prayers, plural. Your prayer, singular, is heard. What prayer? The prayer to have a son. It is obvious from Zacharias' doubt in the next few verses that he had long forgotten about that prayer. No doubt when they were younger, he prayed fervently to have a son. Lord, I just want to have a son. I want a son so bad. But when he got older and out of the childbearing years, he stopped praying about a son, figuring that it was humanly impossible to have one now. So let me just stop praying about this. And I believe that God is just waiting until it is out of human hands to show his power. So as long as we or someone can pull it off for us, sometimes God will just stand back. But when it is humanly impossible, God shows up. And here in these verses, it seems Like Zacharias forgot about that prayer to have a son. But as you can see, God didn't forget. And even though that prayer was at the bottom of the bowl, so to speak, God remembered. God remembers the prayers we so often forget about. And I believe the blessings we experience today are from the prayers that we or someone else prayed long ago. So the angel comes and gives Zacharias the news that he will have a son named John, whose name means God is gracious. Look what he says there in verses 14 through 17. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the disobedience to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Notice, I just love it. I love it how the Lord talks about things before they even happen. Because to him, they have already taken place. Did you know that God is not waiting on something to happen? Everything is right now to him. We're the ones that's bound by time. We're waiting on the next minute, the next second, the next month, the next week. Everything is right now to God. God is talking about John the Baptist as if he's already lived. And to God, he's already lived. It's amazing because it says in Romans 4:17, he calls those things that do not exist as though they did. That's because everything is right now to God. God is not waiting on things to take place. He says, okay, when John the Baptist comes, you guys going to be glad about it. People around you going to hear it. They're going to be glad. He's going to be filled with the Spirit from his mother's womb. He's going to turn many people who are disobedient back to me. He's just talking about his life. Everything he's done. Everything is right now to God. I love that. How God calls those things that do not exist as though they did. Now, look at the great faith of this father, Zacharias, that prayed for a son to come in verse 18. Let's read about his great faith in verse 18. Zacharias said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I'm an old man. My wife is well advanced in years. In other words, she old too. And we just old. So how this going to happen? Now, he said, how shall this be? Now, this looks innocent on the surface, but he was doubting the word of the Lord. He was saying, we're old. How can these things be? In other words, this can't happen. We're old. We can't have going having kids and stuff. What are you talking about? Now, instead of him jumping up and down and rejoicing over the news of a baby boy, he questions the word of the Lord. I wonder how many blessings we missed out on because we questioned the word of the Lord instead of embracing it. Let me ask you this. What part of the word of God are you questioning and not embracing? You will end up missing something God is trying to tell you. Look at your life now as you read the Bible, go through the word or hear a message taught. What part of the word are you not embracing you have a hard time with? I can tell you some of the ladies, you have a hard time with the word submit. You hear that word and you like, what you talking about? Some of you, man, you have a hard time with what it means to love your wife as Christ loved the church. You say, I love my wife. And that means because you put a roof over their head that you love her. That's not what it's talking about. And so many people, they see things in the word of God and they fail to embrace it and what it has to say. And I wonder how many blessings we miss out on because we questioning the word of God and refuse to embrace what it has to say. Here it is. Zacharias is in that same predicament. Look what it says in verses 19 and 20. It says, and the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in its own time. You have to understand something. The angels of God that's in the presence of God, they constantly hear truth. Because the Bible says in God there's truth and in him there's no error. There's no lying in God. There's nothing but truth. Gabriel is saying, look, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God and hear truth and you're not going to embrace it? You're not going to believe what I have to say. He said, I am Gabriel. I'm not just anybody coming to you. I am Gabriel. I believe he got a little upset. So what's wrong with you not believing this word? This is truth I'm speaking to you, and you're questioning it? He said, don't you know who I am? I'm Gabriel, standing in the presence of God. And we have to understand something here. The Apostle Paul says something amazing. He said it in 2 Corinthians 4:13. He says, I believe, therefore I speak. Here is Zacharias didn't believe, and therefore he couldn't speak. And if we allow the thief of unbelief to rob us of our joy, we will be unable to speak as well. Unable to speak to people about Jesus or speak to the Father in praise and worship. I have seen people robbed of joy through unbelief, and you see them in church almost mute, unable to worship, unable to praise God, unable to speak to people on the job, unable to speak to people about Jesus Christ, mute like Zacharias was. And I believe that some of you came in here mute. Normally you're worshiping God and praising him, but you have allowed the thief of unbelief to rob you of your joy this week. And you came in here and you're sitting almost mute, unable to praise God, unable to worship him, unable to talk to people about Jesus like you once did, because you allowed the thief of unbelief to rob you of your joy. And it almost has a way of making us mute, where we just sit in there and we want to speak. We want and we can't. Zacharias understood this. Something else I want to bring to your attention. Notice the last part of verse 20, which says, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. This moves us to number three, understanding faith in prayer. Understanding faith in prayer. Today, there's a lot of emphasis placed upon our faith in prayer. Here is Zacharias. He didn't believe at all. Here's a principle I want you to remember. God is going to do what he planned to do, whether you believe it or not. Did you know that? So many people try to give us the impression that God is crippled apart from our faith. Our unbelief can hinder the plan of God in our lives, but it can never hinder the plan of God. In other words, God's plan can never be hindered by us. Now, our unbelief can hinder our participation in God's plan, but it cannot hinder God's plan. You know what? You know why? He'll just get somebody else. And you will miss out. Your unbelief will cause you to miss out on experiencing the joy of being used by God. I'm going to give you an example of this. You remember in the Old Testament, in the book of Esther, you remember Mordecai? Mordecai said to Esther in chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, he says, if you don't go to the king and plead for your people, God will bring deliverance from another source, or he'll get somebody else. But you will perish. And so often our unbelief has caused the work of God to perish in our lives. And God wants to use us. He wants to use you to do that particular thing. But if you allow the thief of unbelief to rob you of your joy and all that sort of stuff, guess what? You're like, no, I don't want to do it. God said, okay, that's fine. I'm just going to get somebody else. I wanted to use you. I wanted you to get the joy of being used by God. Dude, let me ask you, are you experiencing the joy of being used by God? There's nothing like being wired up by God to do something and then doing it for his glory. The joy, I tell you, I can't wait for Sundays and Wednesdays for me to get up here. The idea of being used by God, the joy that I experience of being used by God, have you ever experienced that? Or are you too busy sitting, waiting on God to say something to you? No, it's not as you're sitting, it's as you are serving that God speaks and God moves and God directs. The joy of being used by God, there is nothing like it in all the world. There's nothing else I would rather do. Now, I can do some other things, but there is nothing else I would rather do than teach you the word of God. And so here it is, Zacharias. He didn't believe, but watch this. This is the amazing thing about God. He didn't believe, and the plan of God was still accomplished in his life. Sometime God would just, in his mercy, even though we don't believe, he will still use us and blow our minds, blow our heads right off our shoulders.
And we're like, I didn't even believe. He still used me.
And your head just pop right off when it does that. Boop, just pop right off. This moves us to number four, understanding God's timing in prayer. God has a timing in prayer that we need to understand. That God didn't get his clock from Walmart like you did, or from some other store from the mall. His clock is not like ours. God has a timing in prayer. God is always looking at the big picture. And we're looking at the right now. No doubt Zacharias and Elizabeth wanted a baby boy to bounce on their knees and teach them about the priesthood. And, hey, this is my boy right here, you know. No doubt. The same way Hannah in the Old Testament. Hannah wanted a baby boy, you know, to bounce, you know, they wanted to, you know, teach him about the things of God, you know. But see, here's the thing. Remember, God is always looking at the big picture. They wanted a baby boy for their family, but God wanted a prophet for the nations. You see, and there was a perfect time that God wanted Samuel to be born and God wanted John the Baptist to be born. And so this gives us some insight into sometimes the delays in prayer as well. That there's a time by which God is going to bring some things to pass. His clock is not like ours, because God is always looking at the big picture. We're always looking at right now. What's going to happen tomorrow? God, I need this to happen by this afternoon. And we're always looking at right now. God is always looking at the big picture. And we need to say, Lord, give us eyes to see things from your perspective. Give us eyes to see the big picture. Because so often we are looking at the right now. And God is saying, no, I got something planned. And so you need to wait a little bit. Because I need to put some things in place. Because when that thing happened, you need to be a certain way. When that thing happened, they need to be a certain way. And when that happened, the world needs to be doing a certain thing. And then, boom, I will make it happen. And we're always looking at the right now. So Zacharias, that guy could not speak because of his unbelief. And God still used him. That just blows me away by God. Look at verse 21. He says, and the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. See, after the priest burned incense, he would come out and bless the people. And the people were wondering and waiting and saying, where is our blessing? What's taking this dude so long? What's wrong with him? What's going on in there? Waiting on my blessing. I gotta get back to work. I came here on my lunchtime and, you know, I gotta get back to work. See, this is a good practice to bless the people in your home. Fathers, single parents, lay hands on your families and bless them before they leave home for school. Or wherever it is they're going. Bless your grandchildren, those of you who have grandchildren. Lay hands on them and bless them. It's amazing. You know, I just love it how the women, they come in, you know, some out of here, you know, they come in like this. And the next, you know, hey, here's a baby right here. And I would just rub their little head and I just say, oh, Lord, just bless them. Bless this little child. They don't have a clue of the world they are just been born into. Lord, bless them. And so, I blessed the children. My children, when they were growing up and going to school, they knew they came right into the room. Or either my wife and I, we, you know, come waking up out of sleep. Oh, you know, Lord, just, you know, eyes crossed. Lord, just bless. You know. And we put, and they looked for that. And every day they came in. They let us lay hands on them before they went to school. Just the other day, my wife just laid hands on my son. Just said, Lord, just bless him. And you know, we let him know we're praying for you. Well, I'm going to go here tonight. And we said, we're going to pray that it's miserable for you. Lord. Jesus' name. Yeah. Lay hands on those kids. See, our kids are grown and gone now. See, they grown, you know, so we just. Now we just tell them, we're going to pray you have a miserable time. Miserable. So lay hands on your children. Pray God's blessing upon them. Like, pray for God's protection, for God's provision, for God's will to be carried out in their lives. Lay hands on them. So the people were waiting for their blessing. And I believe that there are children and grandchildren waiting on you to bless them. And I guarantee you do it one and two and three times. Pretty soon they're going to be coming up. Can you pray for me before I go? Because they're looking for that blessing to be upon their lives. Look at verses 22 to 25. But when he came out, he could not speak to them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. So it was as soon as the days of his service were completed that he departed to his own house. Now after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus the Lord had dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people." Now, although Zacharias' unbelief rendered him speechless, it did not hinder God's purposes because Elizabeth conceived. That just blows me away about God. What a gracious God we serve, a merciful God. Mercy is not giving us what we deserve. We deserve to be put on the shelf. We deserve to be, you know, kicked to the side. But God said, you know what? I know you've blown it. I know you don't believe. But you know what? I'm going to show my power through you anyway. That just blows me away about God. A merciful, gracious God. God still decided to use him. So it just blows me away how God does that. Let me conclude with this. What we learn from these verses is for us not to give up praying, because our prayers are stored in bowls, and it could be just one or two more prayers that will tip the bowl of blessings in our lives. Don't give up. Don't give up unless God said, you know what, it's enough. But if he hadn't said it's enough, you keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking, because it could be just one more prayer. One more prayer. I don't know who the Lord is speaking to this morning, because you came here about to give up praying about some spouse, some child, some situation that you've been praying for. And God could be saying, just one more prayer. One more week of praying. Also, we saw how timing is everything, because God sees the big picture. So we need to ask God to give us eyes to see things from his perspective. Help us to see the big picture. Because so often we just see the right now. We just see the right now. And God said, no, no, no. If I give you that right now, it's going to mess up what I have for you later on. And we need to say, oh, God, help me to see the big picture. Help me to see things from your perspective. Also, we have to remember this. Let us not allow our unbelief to steal our joy. When we do, we will find ourselves mute, speechless, unable to speak for Jesus, unable to praise and worship God. And I believe that some of you came here mute, and you need to ask God to help you to speak again, help you to believe what he said in his word. Lastly, bless your children, your grandchildren, before they leave. Whether you believe it or not, they're waiting on you to do this, just like the people were waiting on Zacharias. They're waiting on you to lay hands on them and bless them. They may look at you and say, what are you doing? I'm praying for you, blessing you. Then pretty soon it'll be like, can you pray for me before I go? See, they're waiting on you. There are some grandchildren waiting on you, folks. Lay hands on them and bless them. Bless your children. They're looking for it. They're waiting on it, like these people were. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this time in your word. Oh, God, we pray that you would help us not to allow the thief of unbelief to rob us of our joy and cause us to be mute, speechless. God, I just pray, Lord, that you would use us. May we receive the joy of being used by you. Lord, I pray that you stir your people up to serve. Stir your people up to give back to you that which you have given them. Lord, I pray that every part would do its share, causing the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. And Lord, if there's anyone here that don't know you, they haven't repented of their sin and accepted you as their Lord and Savior, I pray today will be the day of salvation for them today. Move in hearts today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.